Well, we begin with the first head of doctrine in the Canons of Dort, election. Of the 5 points, this is possibly the most controversial, the most opposed, most misunderstood. This is first in order under the first head, and it's first, unlike Tulip, where depravity would be first, it's first because it was the first in response to the 5 points of Arminianism. We've read the Canons, Article 7 already, where election is defined. Let me give you a repeat summary definition, a little shorter, but God, by his own good pleasure, in the eternal counsel of the Godhead, elected. Other words are chose, same word, selected, synonyms of the same word. God elected some out of the entire human race to eternal salvation in his Son, Jesus Christ, before the world began, with the purpose to set them apart for himself by making them a holy people for his own special possession and pleasure, to demonstrate his grace and goodness to them and to bring glory to himself. Now, what I want to do is I want to give you many passages. I want to overwhelm you, in fact, but I'm going to have to limit them because of our time. And then I want to get to Ephesians 1. Some sample scriptures in the doctrine of election. And let me say this, by the way, as we begin this. Election is divinely revealed. So it is to be accepted. Election is divinely revealed in Scripture. It is to be accepted. Whatever our prejudices are, or against this doctrine, as some have taught, or whatever other difficulties we might have in understanding it, it is biblically revealed. And we're bound by the authority of God to receive it then. Now, what will always remain to us is an honest effort to understand what the Bible actually says, and not to put into it more than is there, or to remove from it what is there. I'll start with Jesus. Jesus said to the disciples in John 15, 16, "You did not choose me, but I chose you." Matthew 24, 31, "He will send forth his angels with a great trumpet, and they will gather together his elect from the four winds, from one end of the sky to the other." Mark 13, 20, "Unless the Lord had shortened those days, no life would have been saved, but for the sake of the elect whom he chose, he shortened those days." Also found in Matthew 24, 22, Luke 18, 7. 1 Thessalonians 1, 4, "Knowing, beloved brethren, your election by God." Now, that's quite a statement. Paul says, "I know that you're the elect." So that, and go look at that sometimes, 1 Thessalonians 1, 4, and see what it was there, how he knew. You think it had something to do with fruit? I think so. 2 Timothy 2:10, "Therefore I endure all things." Paul says, "I endure all things for the sake of the elect, that they also may obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus, and with it eternal glory." Titus 1:1, "Paul, a bondservant of God and an apostle of Jesus Christ." Paul, why are you an apostle? Why are you an apostle of Jesus Christ, slave of God? "According to the faith of God's elect." 1 Peter 1:1 and 2, "To the elect of God, according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, by the sanctifying work of the Spirit, that you may obey Jesus Christ." Deuteronomy 7, 6 through 11, "The Lord your God has chosen you to be a people for his own possession out of all the peoples of the face of the earth. The Lord did not set his love on you, nor choose you, because you were more in number than any of the peoples, for you were fewest of all peoples." John 13, 18, "I do not speak concerning all of you. I know whom I have chosen." John 15, 19, "If you were of the world would love its own, but because you are not of the world, but I chose you out of the world. So many passages, beloved. Ephesians 1:11. In him we also have obtained an inheritance, being predestined according to the purpose of him who works all things according to the counsel of his will. Psalm 33:11. These are some passages where we really see the decree of God. Psalm 33:11. The counsel of the Lord stands forever, the plans of his heart from generation to generation. Isaiah 46. Go meditate sometime on Isaiah 46, 47, 48. But Isaiah 46, where he says, you know what? The gods of the world and the things you trust in, they cannot tell you what is going to take place. And the reason I can, God says, is because I have planned it all. Right? Isaiah 46, 9, 10. Remember the former things long past, for I am God and there is no other. I am God and there is no one like me, declaring the end from the beginning and from ancient times, things which have not been done, saying, my good purpose will be established. I will accomplish all my good pleasure. If there's any uncertainty in that, if the decree of God is conditional, as Arminians teach, that can't happen. God's decree comes to pass, and his elect are saved. Romans 8, sometime read Romans 8. Those whom are called according to his purpose, for whom he foreknew, he also predestined to become conformed to the image of his Son. Whom he predestined, these he also called. Whom he called, these he also justified. Whom he justified, these he also glorified. Verse 33, who will bring a charge against God's elect? Romans 9:11. 9 is like the nuclear passage, right? Of God's decree, God's sovereignty, God's election. Romans 9:11, talking about Jacob and Esau, for though the twins were not yet born and had not done anything good or bad, in order that God's purpose might stand. That's the main clause. That God's purpose might stand according to his choice. It was said to Rebekah, the older shall serve the younger. As it is written, Jacob I have loved, but Esau I have hated. And on and on and on. That's just a small sampling, beloved. And I wanted to give you more. I wanted to overwhelm you, but for time's sake, I won't. It's everywhere. It is absolutely everywhere. If it's not found in Scripture, let us never say anything about it. That's the way I feel. Not found in Scripture, don't say anything about it. If it's there, let us carefully understand it. As God reveals it, let us hear it. As Jesus loves it, let us love it. Let us not fight it, though all men may hate it. But let us properly understand it. Let us properly use it, not for any pet peeve or false notion of it. And in fact, let us not worship it alone. See, you know, neglecting all other scripture, and we make an idol out of election. God is alone to be worshiped who elects. Well, election is divinely revealed, so we have to accept it. It's biblical. Let's look at one place, Ephesians. It's such a clear place. Let's turn to Ephesians chapter 1. What I really just want you to see here is it's a blessing. It is a blessing for the Christian. It is a positive thing. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus, by the will of God, to the saints who are in Ephesus and faithful in Christ Jesus, grace to you and peace from God our Father and Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. Okay, here's one of them. And here's the beginning of all blessings. Just as He chose us in Him before the foundation of the world. Blessed be God who has blessed us, just as He chose us in Him, in Christ, before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love, having predestined us to adoption as sons by Jesus Christ to Himself, according to the good pleasure of His will, to the praise of the glory of His grace, by which He has made us accepted in the Beloved. What a positive treatment. We begin with blessing. Election is a blessing. And it's the first blessing. And it's the fountainhead of all other blessings. And it ought to be embraced. It ought to be enjoyed. It ought to be loved. It should not be shunned. Maybe sometimes it needs to be corrected when it's distorted. Spurgeon said, said about election, I love God's truth of election beat up and behind bars as much as I love it walking around free. It's a blessing. The first blessing, the funnel to all blessings. It is to be embraced. Secondly, what is election? It's God's choice. Election is God's choice. He chose us. He chose us. Election is not man's choice. It's God's choice. He chose us. This goes back to, this is part of God's decree. It's part of His predestined plan. Verse 5, right? Having predestined us to adoption as sons. It's God's good plan, His kind intention, having predestined us to adoption as sons by Jesus Christ according to Himself, according to the good pleasure of His will. It's God's decree. It's God's kind intention. The blessings. If you think of Arminianism, the blessings here say nothing about us choosing God. Our faith in this passage doesn't come until verse 13. And you know what? That's the product of God's election and His decree. That's part of the blessing. The blessing is that God chose us. John 15:16, you did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit, and that your fruit should remain, whatever you ask in my Father's name, He may give you. It's a blessing. Election also is in Christ. And I take this to mean His salvation in Christ. Verses 3, verses 4, verses 5. If, in fact, it would be a fun little study for you sometimes to just read through this passage and note how many times it says, in Christ, in Christ, in Christ. You get the idea that Christ is necessary. It's in Christ. You're saved in Christ. You can't be saved any other way. He elected you in Christ and He saves you in Christ. It's not in ourselves then. And this is the little dirty secret of Arminianism. They put too much emphasis on it being in us or in ourselves. Not in our fathers. It's not in our nationality. Election is not in our strength or in our goodness. Election is not in our faith, it's not in our works, not in our wisdom, it's in Christ. God put us in Christ. He decreed to put us in Christ. It refers to salvation in verse 7, in Him we have redemption through His blood. Verse 11, in Him also we have obtained an inheritance. That's part of the blessing, which has its fountainhead in election, the first blessing. Verse 13, in Him you were sealed, having heard the gospel of salvation and having believed. Now there are some who are elected in Christ and have not yet believed in Christ, but they will infallibly one day believe. They'll hear the call, the effectual call. The Spirit will take the gospel that is proclaimed and make it effectual. Verse 5 says, having been predestined, we were chosen in Christ. Having been predestined, that's the plan of salvation. The eternal plan of salvation. Adoption. Predestined to adoption as sons. But it is such a beautiful thought that God has made us His sons, and we have all the privileges of being sons in Christ. That is a beautiful thought. Now, when I tell you it's a judicial act, it doesn't sound as fancy, does it? It's actually a judicial act, a legal act, not a natural act, of course, because we're not natural sons. It's a legal act of God. God chose to make us sons. And in fact, you know, in the Roman world, I minored in ancient Roman civilization. In the Roman world, adoption was just as authoritative as biological birth. In fact, sometimes more binding. I think God designed it that way. He structured the whole background of this so He could say to you, when I have adopted you legally, there's not going to be a change to that. Adoption. The highest relationship, that's what that refers to. The highest relationship with God. You are predestined to adoption as sons. And the timing of it. When was the timing of it? Well, just so man does not try to steal some of this glory, which is so, John Owens, I've told you I'm reading John Owens on this. I can read him now. When I was 18, I was having trouble. And I put John Owen aside, and I never wanted to go back to him, actually. No, truth is, he was really valuable then. Very valuable. I don't want to get into that sometime. Ask me separately. But I think he set a course for keeping me, by God's providence, God's means, to keep me from some error. But he's very difficult, and I kind of set him aside after that. I think, I usually, if you ask my wife, I can comprehend almost any reading. John Owen, very hard. And then a guy a year ago gives me a whole set of John Owen. Not a pastor, not another guy. Not a guy that goes to our church, a guy somewhere in Cape Coral calls me up, says, I wonder if you would like a set of John Owens. Yes, no. Yeah, so anyway, but I've been reading it. I'm very blessed. But when was the time? The Arminians want to put this on men. They want to make man a condition upon men. And man's faith. And what does God say here? Verse 4, before the world began. That removes any possibility of man's involvement. Chosen before the world began. That removes all boasting in man. See? Before the foundation of the world. By God, in Christ, before the world began. And what is the purpose of election? It says here, well, obviously the whole context is salvation. When we're talking about election, we are talking about salvation, chosen to salvation. But in the context, he says, we were chosen to be holy and blameless before him in love. Chosen, the end of verse 4, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. He didn't choose us because we were holy. He didn't choose us because he foresaw some holy faith or some holy goodness. He chose us as sinners, but to make us holy and to make us blameless before him. And he chose us all throughout here to bring him glory. According verse 5, of having predestined us to adoption as sons by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace. The praise of the glory of his grace. That's the purpose. Well, election humbles the pride of man, but it exalts the glory of God. To save us and to make us holy, that was ultimately to bring him glory. So election actually humbles the pride of man, and it exalts the glory of God. All of these things that I've mentioned, they remove all human merit. All of these things humble the pride of man and the boasting of man. It removes it. The source is God. He chose us. The sphere is in Christ. Time is before the world began. The purpose to save us, to make us holy, to make a people for his own possession who are blameless before him in love. Holiness and blamelessness flow from election. And it's to the praise of the glory of his grace. And as I said, it's found all over Scripture, isn't it? It's a blessing. It's a blessing. Let us ponder it, understand it. Let us use it properly. Let's embrace it. Let's love it. Let's fight for it. We're going to be learning it together. And let's give the Lord glory for it. Let's pray. Father, we do praise you and thank you for your sovereign choice. This is very humbling. This certainly pushes the envelope of our minds. It brings up a lot of questions and many objections from many sources, especially enemies of your word. Help us to grasp what you have revealed, for what you have revealed is for us. Help us not to speculate too far beyond what you have revealed. Indeed, help us not to speculate at all beyond what you've revealed. But help us to embrace this truth to our comfort. It is a comfort to us. It is a blessing. May we cease our striving, and may we rest in the salvation that is in Christ and his choice. We give you all the glory, for you deserve it. In Jesus' name, amen.